From the studios of Boise State Public Radio News, I'm Samantha Wright, filling in for Jim Agudat. It's Idaho Matters. Idaho spends less on school infrastructure per student than any other state. That fact prompted the nonprofit newsroom ProPublica to start looking at the effects this lack of investment has caused for schools, for teachers, and for students. And here's just a little of what they found from the officials that they talked with. Leaky roofs, flooding classrooms, cracks in walls and foundations, asbestos, systems so old they can't properly heat classrooms in winter or cool them in summer, overcrowding, security issues. Some schools say classrooms can't hear PA announcements, so they can't hear it if there's an active shooter threat or a fire. The list just goes on and on. And the investigation found that while schools are falling apart, Idaho laws mean raising money to fix them can be extremely hard, especially in smaller, more rural districts. Joining us now to tell us more about their investigation are ProPublica engagement reporter Asia Fields and Idaho Statesman reporter Becca Savransky. Welcome to the both of you. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
So how did this investigation work? You sent out feelers to, I think, all of Idaho's 115 public school superintendents. Who responded? How many got back to you?
Yeah, so I'll just say this was really Becca Savransky's project and idea. She's the education reporter at the Idaho Statesman and came to ProPublica through a program we have partnering with local newsrooms. So we partnered to work on this project and sort of, you know, have to fill some of the gaps in data. We decided early on that we would survey all of the superintendents in the state. So there are 115 of them, and we got 91% to respond. So pretty high response rate. And using that data, we were able to show, you know, that a lot of districts around the state struggled with many of the issues that you just noted.
Wow. Okay. So Becca, you got to talk to not just superintendents, but to teachers and to maintenance folks, and you even talked to some students, I understand?
Yeah. So we, in addition to sending out the survey to superintendents, we put out a call out on ProPublica and the Statesman's website asking teachers, parents, students, you know, anyone in the community to write in and tell us about their schools. And we also visited many districts and took tours of 39 schools where we were able to speak to a number of classes or, you know, folks in student government. And we asked them what they liked about their schools, and then things that they would want to change in their schools and how some of these facilities issues impact them. So we were able to hear from over 200 people.
Wow. I read in there that every superintendent you heard from said they have at least one facilities issue. Let's look at some of those: leaking roofs and heating and cooling issues. Tell me about some of the things you found.
Yeah. So like you mentioned, heating and cooling were some of the most common issues. About 68% of superintendents said that they struggled with those. The roof was a big problem for a lot of districts. About 61% struggled with that, as well as accessibility for people with disabilities and security. And we have a whole list of the survey results on our website. But overall found that a majority of districts struggled with a lot of those things that you mentioned.
And you have pictures in this very extensive story of a lot of the things that you found. I mean, you see roofs that have fallen that are covered in leaks. There are buckets and plastic, and you have teachers showing where the flood line is when their classrooms flood. Was this surprising when you were out looking at these? I mean, this had to be kind of shocking information.
I think some of it was definitely surprising to us, and we were just hearing that it was so common. You know, it just seemed like so many districts were kind of struggling with the same types of things. So after a while, you know, districts were telling us about their issues, and we were saying, oh, yeah, we've heard that from, you know, however many other schools.
We're speaking with Idaho Statesman Education reporter Becca Savransky and ProPublica engagement reporter Asia Fields about their ProPublica investigation into Idaho's crumbling schools. So let's talk about some of the scary stuff. I think 58% of superintendents you talked to said security is a significant challenge. Can you talk about that? And talk about, there was one Moscow High School student's story that was very unnerving about a active shooter threat. Talk about security in schools.
Right. Like you said, a majority of districts said that they struggle with security. This can be things like, you know, struggling with locks on doors or, you know, needing fencing to surround the campus and secure the campus. Like you mentioned, there was a scary incident at Moscow not too long ago where the gym wasn't able to hear the announcement that they were going under lockdown because of an active shooter threat. And so we spoke to a student there who talked about how terrifying it was to learn about that late. And then they had an issue securing a door, which was really scary for everyone in that gym. And luckily Moscow was able to improve security in that area. They fixed the announcement system, but we heard similar issues in other districts around the state, including a district that told us they had an issue with students not being able to hear public announcements. So it was pretty clear that this was a really big concern. A lot of superintendents told us, you know, that their schools were built before they had some of these modern day security concerns and that they were struggling to fix them.
Well, and not just active shooter concerns, but I mean, you talk about fire alarms being broken. And we had that Highland High School fire at the cafeteria and gym, and apparently the sprinklers worked, but the fire alarm never went off. You found a lot of fire suppression and fire system issues when you talked to folks.
Yeah, that was definitely a concern we heard too. Just with a lot of these old buildings, they were built before, you know, buildings were required to have many of these things for fire safety. And I also just wanted to note that in terms of many of these security issues that school districts mentioned, we didn't say what district they were from, just for the safety of the districts.
Very smart. You know, other things, asbestos was a problem in what, 31% of superintendents said asbestos is a problem? I mean, I think that's for anyone who has kids going to school, the last thing they want to hear is there's asbestos in my school. That's pretty scary.
Yeah, we had a quote from a superintendent in the story saying the middle school is loaded with asbestos. And we heard similar things from other superintendents. Luckily, a lot of that isn't exposed. It's, you know, it's been sealed like old floor tiles or, you know, covered in layers to prevent it from being exposed. But a lot of superintendents said like abatement was a challenge, and it made what would otherwise be simple repairs and upgrades to the building a challenge, since construction, you know, required a lot of expertise and, you know, asbestos, like preventing the asbestos from becoming exposed and damaged.
So why can't Idaho fix these problems? Where does money for school infrastructure come from, and why isn't there enough of it?
Yeah, so a really big portion of it comes from property taxes. So Idaho schools are having to run bonds and levies to pay for repairing and replacing their buildings. But Idaho has a 66.6% requirement for bonds to pass. So it's really, really hard for a lot of these school districts to get that much support for one of these measures. And we actually heard recently that lawmakers are actually discussing some proposals for this legislative session that could potentially start the process of lowering that supermajority and also putting more money into some of these facilities issues.
Well, I think, you know, when you talk to so many superintendents and others all over the state, and you're getting these stories over and over again about these problems, I mean, this is, I think it's fair to say, widespread. How were the folks that you talked to? Were they optimistic that there would be change? Were they not optimistic? What was the overall mood, I guess?
I think there were a lot of superintendents and principals we talked to who felt somewhat hopeless. They felt really fortunate that there was some funding they received from the federal government with COVID, and that they were able to make some repairs using that, but that money is going away. I mean, I think as hopeless as they feel, they definitely want something to change. We heard a lot of superintendents tell us or talk about the supermajority for bonds. There were also others who said that they understood why the community didn't pass bonds and that they would like a solution that doesn't further, you know, burden the community. So I think overall, superintendents and principals and others in education are really hoping for a change, even if there are different ideas about what that change would look like.
Okay. And you guys are going to keep reporting, right?
Yes, we will be continuing to report on this issue. We have a few other stories kind of that we're looking into, and we'll definitely be covering what happens during the legislative session.
All right. We've been speaking with ProPublica engagement reporter Asia Fields and Idaho Statesman Education reporter Becca Savransky about their ProPublica investigation into Idaho's crumbling schools. We'll put a link to their findings on our website, BoiseStatePublicRadio.org. Thank you both for coming on and for your reporting and what you do.
Thank you so much for having us.
Thanks for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Samantha Wright. We'll see you tomorrow.
Did you know you are physically adapting to all your swiping, scrolling, and tapping?
We're changing our bodies and what they're able to do through our habits.
NPR's Body Electric, a special interactive series investigating how to fix the relationship between our tech and our health. Listen in the TED Radio Hour feed wherever you get your podcasts.